الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة ويقول الحق سبحانه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and surely the best reward is for those who have taqwa. And surely there is no animosity except for the oppressor. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah always and constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by cautioning myself and you to have taqwa, that we should build around us a consciousness based upon not only the fear of Allah, but the hope in the mercy of Allah. And this consciousness would travel with us, would enable us to make the right decisions in all aspects of our lives. And the bottom line in taqwa is that Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed to us, O you who believe, have the consciousness of Allah, and do not die except in a state of Islam. That we should worship Allah properly in the way that He should be worshipped. And that the last words coming out of our mouth, the last condition, should be a condition of submission to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with intelligence. Allah has blessed us with the ability to benefit from experiences, to understand what is happening today, partially based on what happened in the past, to project ourselves toward the future, having revelation. And so the experiences we have in this life need to be coupled with the direction given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the lips of our last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This can be a source of guidance to us in the darkest days. Last week, I had the opportunity to make the Jumu'ah khutbah in Newark, New Jersey. And New Jersey, in the United States, is one of the sections of that country where Muslims have a lot of potential power. Even though it is very close to New York City, New Jersey right now, especially in the Newark area, the majority of the people in the city have either accepted Islam, or somebody in their family accepted Islam, or a friend of theirs is a Muslim. They have political representation. In the city of Paterson, New Jersey, there is the second largest Arab population in the whole of North America. After Dearborn and Detroit area, New Jersey is the second largest population of Arabic-speaking people. And with this concentration that Muslims have, you would expect that the large numbers would bring about immediate results on the ground. But in traveling amongst the Muslims there, I found a type of frustration, a type of feeling that the large numbers did not necessarily equal authority or respect on the ground. And so the same issues that we face here in the GTA, with a large population of 10% of the population, but yet and still not feeling our weight, feeling we can be pushed around, and feeling, as the Prophet ﷺ we could be falling in the category of husa as-sail. That is the foam on top of the water that can be pushed to the right or to the left. And so this situation, in analyzing it with the brothers and sisters there, I found that many of the problems are based upon tribe, upon language, upon the ego and pride of the leadership. Divisions that do not necessarily have to be if we practiced the beautiful message that is in front of us. So this is the time, this is another confirmation that this is the time for Muslims to begin to drop some of the superficial divisions and to start to unite ourselves, to network the activities that we have. If you are a person in IT and you have colleagues who are Muslim, network with them. If you're an athlete, if you're a housewife, whatever you are, try to move with a jama'ah. Try to network with other Muslims to benefit from their understanding and to benefit from their assistance. That unity is where, as the Prophet ﷺ said, the hand of Allah is with the jama'ah. Without that, we fall into frustration. And one of the frustrations people are falling into in the New Jersey area is the widespread use of the hookah pipe. And the hookah pipe, being very similar to the plague of smoking cigarettes and nicotine, is something which has spread now on an unprecedented level. And in the city of Patterson, as an example, people would sleep normally at 9 or 10 at night, and now because they smoke the pipe at night in the shops, now the average people are sleeping at 2 or 3 in the morning. And criminals are coming in the area. And this is something which, if we follow our sources, we would avoid this. But frustration, fashal, when you feel that you have failed, the human being tends to escape or to want to escape reality. And so it is a form of escaping reality. And don't be fooled by the package. When they say that the hookah pipe, you are smoking fruit. You're not smoking nicotine. You're not smoking hashish. But the reality is, the tar that is in the fruit, even though it says on the package that the tar, it will not harm you, the trick is when the tar is put to fire, it becomes more dangerous than nicotine. And so in the same way that nicotine has been causing cancer, and the Surgeon General, all of the major medical agencies have recognized that it is a danger to the body, the same way the hookah is a danger to the throat, a danger to the mouth, a danger to the lungs, a danger to the body. And the Prophet ﷺ said clearly, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. Don't harm anybody, don't harm yourself. And some of our great scholars in the 20th century, as Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah of Arabia, made clear fatwa that because of the harm to the body, because of israf of the waste, because of the smell that it causes, and the wrong type of society the people live in, that the nicotine smoking and all of these things are actually can be classified in the area of haram. And that is where the fuqaha are now going towards in order to understand this. But the shahid for us here, again, is the need for operational unity. That even if we have differences, even if one is on the madhab Imam Shafi, or on the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, or Imam Malik, or Imam Ahmed, whatever, that person of Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah should try now to break down these artificial barriers. And this is not something new. In looking at the great wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, the Shaykh al-Islam of the Hanabila, in looking at this great advice that he left, in one section, they faced the same problem. This is hundreds of years ago. They faced the problem to the point where within his fatwa, he said, that people will come to another individual and say, Anta Shukaili, Anta Farqandi. They will name them names. And same today, instead of that person as a Muslim, they will try to name him by his school of thought or by his Islamic movement, right? Instead of Muslimin, Mu'mineen, Muhsineen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named us. The Shaykh Rahimahullah said, Inna hadhihi al-asma batila ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. That these names are useless. These names have no base. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal these names. And so these names can identify a person if they are following the fiqh of Imam al-Shafi, Rahimahullah, but it is no way supposed to be a barrier between that person and another Muslim. And so operational unity. If not, we fall again into this major problem. And Shaykh al-Islam, Rahimahullah, as other people have done up until today, the same verse comes back again. The same verse that we looked at before, happening to us, happened to them hundreds of years ago. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very clearly in a section of this verse in Surah Al-Anfal, this is verse 46, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, obey Allah and His Messenger. And this Surah Al-Anfal was under a lot of pressure, in the middle of a battle. Obey Allah and His Messenger and do not argue. If you argue with these unnecessary negative arguments and debates, فَتَفْشَلُوا, that you will lose your courage, you'll fail, and you'll lose your power. So have patience, for verily Allah is with the patient. And so this is a beautiful divine reminder to us that ta'atullah, the obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger, is essential in the beginning. But that obedience should not allow us to argue. It should take us away from unnecessary argumentation. And so the unnecessary argumentation, you argue over minor points, right, that have no real relevance. Minor points, you argue over these points. If this happens, then fashal will come in. And this is an interesting word, because fashal itself can be translated also as failure, disappointment, despair, frustration. See, that's a feeling now. Disappointed. You feel like failure. Okay, and when that happens, the verse says, Yoriah, the wind is literally knocked out of you. So you're knocked out. You lose your power and authority. But what is the answer? Allah did not leave us alone. He told us, have patience. Waspiru. So have patience, a sabr. And patience is not an activity that puts you to sleep, but patience is holding, is actively persevering. Persevere in all possible ways that you can. So this problem is a serious problem that we need to look at. It is a real problem right now. It's something pervading the communities. But it's not, the answer is not far away from us. It's not far away from us. Our condition can change. That is the beauty of Islam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hayyun la yamut. Allah is alive, will never die. And so the condition can change. And Allah told us, Inna Allaha la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bianfusihim. Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change that which is in themselves. How can this be interpreted? If we want to look inside of the human body, right, or inside of the spirit, how can we change something inside of ourselves? Okay, how can we really, in a practical way, look at this? The Prophet ﷺ on occasion spoke about the internal Muslim. spoke about things that are inside of us that can change, things which are really important. And in one tradition, in a section of one tradition, he told us, in the fil jasadi mudra, إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ عَلَىٰ وَهِي الْقَلْبِ. That in the body there is a mudra, there is a lump of flesh, an organ. If it goes right, if it is good and sound, the whole body is good and sound. But if it is corrupted, the whole body is corrupted, and that is the heart. Now we used to look at this, even scientifically, we used to look at this, that the heart is only that which pumps blood. The heart is an organ, but the brain is the primary organ. And we used to read verses of Quran, we hear hadiths, but now even science is telling us. Science is now switching its understanding of the human being. And this fits right in line with what we already heard from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Startling discoveries they have made about the heart. They have found that when the baby is being formed, that one of the first organs to develop, the first system to develop, is the cardiovascular system. It is the heart system which starts to develop. And the heart itself, made up of tiny cells, the cells of the heart pulsate. The cells of the heart have movement in them. No other cells in the human body pulsate. And that force, this is the question, doctors who don't believe in God, but they say, what is the life force inside of the cell that is making it move? They can only call it a life force. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put inside a human being a ruh, that there is a soul inside of us. There is an energy force. Nobody knows what it is. That is from the affairs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even science is now telling us that the heart is pumping, and this life permeates the rest of the body. So the heart is giving life to the rest of the body. Before we said, no, it's the brain. We are a brain. We are controlled by the computer of the brain. But the reality is the computer is only like a computer. You hold the computer, but you control it. The computer just stores your information. The controller of it is the person. And the controller of the brain is the heart. The heart is 5,000 times more power than the brain in magnetic power. Scientists have shown us. 60 times stronger than the brain in electric power. And now they have found neurons connecting the heart to the brain, so that most of the decisions, the heart has a brain of its own. It doesn't need the other brain. That's the reason why a person can be brain dead and still alive. They could be brain dead, but they're still classified as alive. Because the heart itself has a brain that learns, remembers, and makes decisions. How can that connect with us? That's a scientist. What relevance does that have to Islam? In the 22nd chapter of the Quran, verse 46, Allah Azza wa Jal has told us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أفلم يسيروا في الأرض فتكون لهم قلوب يعقلون بها أو آذان يسمعون بها فإنها لا تعمى الأبصار ولكن تعمى القلوب التي في الصدور. So Allah has revealed, do they not travel through the land so that their hearts may thus learn wisdom? You see? You're traveling through the land, not your brain is learning wisdom. Allah said your heart's going to learn wisdom. And then following that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and their ears, as they travel, may also learn to hear. Truly it is not their eyes that are blind, but their hearts that are in their chests. So it's not the eyes that's blind. The real blindness is the heart. So this is a serious thing now in our sources. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, you came to ask about bir, to tasal anil bir. Right? You came to ask about righteousness, right? And the man said, yes. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, istafti qalbak. Ask your heart. He did not say, ask your brain. He didn't say, go to your intelligence. He said, ask your heart. Why would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then say, shoulder to shoulder? And this is interesting because the scientists found that the pulsating of the heart creates an electromagnetic field. Around each individual, there is an electromagnetic field from the pulsating of the heart. And it is when this goes down that life is going out of the individual. So the Prophet ﷺ said, shoulder to shoulder. When you're in prayer, be shoulder to shoulder. So your hearts will not be divided. So your hearts will not be divided. So that electromagnetic field is united. It's one saf. Bunyanun marsus. Like a lead wall. Don't divide yourself out. So the issue of the heart is a primary issue. It is a serious one that we need to study. We need to have practical guidance in this. And to hold on to the rope of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because now is the time when the decisions we are making will have a profound influence upon us. On our families, on our communities. We are in the barrel of decision. The world is looking at us. You Muslims have resources. You Muslims have power. Or you think you do. You Muslims have people. You have young. Youth, what are you going to do? Allah told us, "Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bianfusihim." Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change that which is in themselves. And next week, inshallah, we want to look at again the issue of the heart for practical solutions. What are the diseases of the heart, and what are practical solutions to bring us from darkness into light? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the hearts of the believers throughout these lands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the believers throughout everywhere on this planet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the Muslims, the Rohingya Muslims we're looking at today of Burma. May Allah help the Rohingya Muslims. Help them in their suffering, along with those suffering in Syria, in Philistine, in Somalia, and all the places of the Muslim world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to give of ourselves to assist those who are in tremendous need. And may Allah forgive us, for we know not what we do. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iri muslimin min kulli dhanbin istaghfiru innahu huwa ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillah, al-wahid, al-ahad, al-fard, al-samad, al-ladhi lam yalid, wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad, wa usalli wa usallam, ala khatim al-anbiya'i wa mursaleen, nabiyyana Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, wa ba'd. Ya ibadullah, taqullah haythu ma kuntum, wa yaqul al-haq subhana mukhbiran wa amira, inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وارض الله عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وعنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُوكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله يرحمكم الله. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.